This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 418, recorded on October 10th, 2019. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way in your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from Mike. I think we had a 40-degree swing in temperature today, right?
No kidding. When I went back outside after work, I'm like, what happened? I swear it was like sleeting and 40, and when I had gone into work, it was almost 70. Typical Nebraska.
Oh, very crazy. Of course, we post the show with world-class show notes and some pretty good ones tonight. You want to head out to the average guy. TV. Don't forget, you can also join us live on our mobile app, homegadgetgeeks.com is where that lives. The Android iPhone buttons right there. Download it for free. Listen to it on the road. Great way to get it done. And you can get it for free, homegadgetgeeks.com. Don't forget to join the Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/Discord, or on Facebook, averageguy.tv/Facebook. Big thanks to Jay Madison, who joined us 2 weeks ago. Last week, had to cancel. Ed Sullivan was coming. He's now coming next week. I got really sick. In fact, I'm still struggling a little bit voice-wise. So, Mike, you're going to have to definitely fill in for me. It's just kind of a push on the vocal cords to get it done tonight. Did get a podcast in at work, so I'm kind of getting back into the flow. But, man, that upper respiratory thing, and it crushed me. Is it going around where you're working at all?
No, okay, but last year we had that little bout of stuff that went around actually right around this time, and it knocked a few people out for a solid week.
Oh my gosh. I've never taken 2 days off of work ever for sickness, and this one just knocked me out. I had to go back Saturday, the high school program that we do, and it was all fine. I shouldn't say all fine. It was probably 60% for the morning, and I came home and put a hoodie on. Just kind of wrapped up for the rest of the weekend. Appreciate you guys giving me the week off. We did have Nextcloud scheduled for tonight. Scheduling conflict with them. I think Frank is traveling. Joss said he could be here, but I'd like to get both of them. So we'll shoot for 2 weeks to have them back. Ed Sullivan back in a week. So I appreciate all the moving around. Again, I said big thanks to Jay. And so hopefully you've supported Jay. If you didn't, go back to HGG417, and get his link to his YouTube channel and all those other things. Jay was great. He's going to come back. We'll get him scheduled for later in the winter. And I think we're going to try and get him on once a quarter. And he's kind of a hardware guy like we are, and he had some pretty cool stuff to talk about. We're going to get some specialized stuff out of him. So, Jay, thanks for coming on. Appreciate you being on the show as well. Mike, big announcement. Officially, I'll be in London. Oh, Sarah's staring at me like she's so mad at me now. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know. They're taking off. I'm going to be in London the 30th of November through the 7th of December. Most of it's work-related, but I will be there this Sunday. So fly out the 30th. So December 1st, Sunday, flying to London about 7. I would have a lunch and a dinner available to anybody in the London area. So if you are your UK listener, you're around the London area, I could even jump on a train probably and get half hour to an hour outside of London. Love to. I travel to get to you. So if you're listening to this, you're in that area, December 1st, opportunity for a quick meetup. The rest of the week's pretty booked with work, so I won't have a lot of opportunities there. But Christmas time in London, Mike, not too bad.
That's not a bad deal at all. I know. Man, that's a pretty good work deal to get to head to London during that time frame. It'd be pretty nice.
We're going to do some podcasting stuff, which is super cool. So going to do some recording during the week. I've got some user group sessions for all the stuff I do for Gallup. We're actually recording live Wednesday night. We're recording a live call to coach. That's what I do for Gallup. From the Shard, which is a big, brand new, beautiful building, right? Downtown London. Mm-hmm. And we're up on, I don't know, we're way up there. And so we're going to do a night shoot of this of this podcast. So it'll be live. We'll have a live audience, about 100 there. Have guests and be doing this thing and live on YouTube. So be pretty cool. That's kind of the big show over there. Doing recordings Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Fly out of Heathrow. I don't know, 11 or something on Saturday. So no Home Gadget Geeks that week. But no, I probably can't pull that off. That would be kind of fun, though.
That would be pretty cool.
Might have to figure out, because the timing's totally different, right? I mean, it's pretty late
You'd be doing it middle of the night if you wanted to do it same time
Thursday Central. Night. Yeah, but yeah, it'd be late. It'd just be like, I stay up. I stay up for everything anyway. So we'll have to see. That first week of December, again, if you're in the London area, that December 1st, and some of us want to get together, I'd love to do a pub and maybe smoke a cigar, if you know what I mean. It'd be kind of fun to get that done. And let me know, Jim at theaverageguy.tv, if you're interested. I'll be making that announcement over the next couple weeks. Everybody always says, like, I never even knew I go someplace. I didn't even know. So I thought I'd start early. I don't get over to London very often, so I thought it'd be a great opportunity to get that done. Mike, I imagine I'm taking a bunch of camera equipment. I'm imagining I'm going to need some conversion gear, right? I won't be able to take the camera gear that I'm with and plug it right into the outlet. Yep. I'm sure that it's going to be a little bit different. Have you been to the UK or been to that part of the world?
Yeah, I have. And usually all you need is just, you don't need like any sort of inverter. You just need the adapter that changes one plug to the other one. Unless you're using something like a hair dryer or a curling iron, which I don't think you do, Jim. Maybe you do. I don't know. With your long flowing locks, maybe you need something. But unless you're using something like that, usually most electronics are just fine just using the adapter. And those are really cheap, you know, $5, $10 yeah. bucks on Amazon.
Yeah.
And you should be good. But I think you've kind of compiled a list of things that you think, you know, for the travel, for the trip, that would probably be necessary for you. And then I've got a few add-ins that I might add in too.
Yeah, I kind of started thinking, you know, whenever you're going to do a big trip like this. Now this is recruiting season. So I was in Gainesville, Florida for a couple of days doing some recruiting there. I was down in Dallas doing, by the way, I saw Randy Cantrell. Randy's out chat room. Yeah, I got a chance to visit Randy. Nice. Listen, Randy was super cool, and I appreciate you for this. He came in the morning, 8 o'clock, picked us up at the airport, and I got a chance to hang out with him, and we stopped at a Starbucks, got a little breakfast. We were kind of in a hurry, unfortunately. But I got about 45 minutes with Randy, and so, Randy, thanks for taking the time. It was super great to meet with you. I had dinner. I could have done dinner. We couldn't make that work out while we were there. But so a little trip down to Dallas, but so I kind of had to repack my bag, Mike. It's been a couple years. I kind of took a 2-year sabbatical, so to speak, from the road. And it was kind of nice. I was getting kind of burned out on it. But as I was thinking about this London trip, I was kind of like, okay, what's my minimum gear now? Like it's been a couple years. There's a lot of great tech that's out there. A couple years ago, I bought my Bose Quiet Comfort 35s. Cannot travel without the 35s. Like they're just incredible. They have Bose now has the 35 V2 version of it. They actually have Amazon and Google integration with the voice assistants that's there. So you can say things and those voice assistants work. The one I have doesn't have it. And I'm actually okay with that. Mike, have you thought about if you could get a voice assistant in your headphones that would control, I imagine it controls things on your phone and stuff like that. Is that a deal breaker for you? Helpful or not? Or nah?
No, not really. Only because I know that I'm very limited in the time. You know, I have Siri available, and especially with the command, you can activate her with just your voice, and I don't even use that very often. So as far as the times I would have a headphone on, and the problem I have when you're wearing the Bose is that they're noise canceling, and so you're probably yelling, and you don't even realize it, right? And people next to you like, whoa, yeah. Simmer down. You know, we all don't need directions to the nearest Starbucks. Just you do, man. And so that would be my only concern with that. So that would not be a deal breaker to me. I even have the Quiet Comfort 25s, I believe. They're the version with
corded.
The cord.
Yeah.
Corded, yeah. And same way, you cannot travel without a good set of noise canceling headphones. And I always go back to Bose. I've tried a few of my buddies out, you know, Beats and other ones and Sony, but I really like Bose. They tend to work the best for me. I can wear them for the longest duration and not get any sort of, you know, weird stuff in my ears and no headache wearing them. No. So yeah, I agree with you there.
Good across the top. One of the things this travel season, and this isn't anything new, but a big change for me is I've just been watching movies and I didn't realize I would always try to work on the plane. That was just, I don't know why. I just would get on there. I'd get Wi-Fi. I'd try to do email. It would take a month to get you connected. It would be sporadic. I mean, Wi-Fi used to be great. When it first came out, nobody knew how to get on it. It was great. Now it just blows. Like it's not very great. And so most of the airlines, I think I flew Delta and American this last time. Both of those offered free movies, and they had a big selection of movies, Marvel movies, but some new ones, some old ones. I watched Rocket Man. Man, that's like a whole different, I don't know why it took me this long to kind of figure out, hey, dude, watch movies. because it made it just go like that. And yeah. I don't know why it took me so long to get there. Is that when you're on the plane, do you try and work or are you entertaining the whole time you're on?
It totally depends. Now that I don't have to travel for work, every time I've been on a plane recently in the last 2 years, it's been for pleasure. And we do watch the movies, especially those things are a godsend for young kids. Kids that are too young to have their own device, but just to be able to plug their headphones in and they can watch whatever they want. It's perfect. But back when I was working, I did try and knock out a lot of work. That was the one time where I could just have 2 hours devoted and not have any interruption. But you're right, if I'm looking for time to go by fast, the movies are the way to go.
Yeah, and I used to write. Like, I was really good at writing on the plane. I don't know what it was about being on a plane or couldn't go anywhere, didn't have any distractions or whatever. Man, some of my very best writing was done on a plane. But from a sanity standpoint, to be able to start watching a movie and then all of a sudden you're landing. And super great. So I'll probably figure out a couple ways, either have them loaded or whatever. Again, I've listened to a lot of guys and a lot of podcasts where that's all they do on a plane is, you know, they load up movies and maybe for long flights, two or three movies. I don't know. Again, don't know why it took me so long to get there with it, but I definitely am a big fan of movies. So we're going to be loading that up as well. I've been carrying a couple batteries. Nothing special and certainly nothing that I bought. These were all batteries that were given as part of swag bags, but small, thin, light, kind of keep them around. I got a one from Microsoft, a Surface one, Surface branded anyways, that it was really, really good. And I gave it to a buddy. The other one, it was okay, but I found it helpful just to have a couple batteries with me for those kinds of things. The iPhone 8, I have an iPhone 8 Plus, works still. You know, I'm coming up on my second year on that thing. Battery, still great, right? Knock on wood. That thing is still awesome, works great. I get all day, even with travel, pretty awesome. But I do find having a couple, couple batteries now, and they're not very expensive at all. But having a couple batteries in your bags is really helpful. Mike, I think the thing we don't think about enough, and I've gotten caught on this one, is all the cables.
Yeah.
So I do a cable inventory before I go, right? Pull them all out, just kind of make sure, do I have enough cable? Because when I get there, charge the headphones, recharge the batteries, charge the phone. I need the lightning cable for the iPhone versus a mini USB for the headphones, plus my watch. I went out and bought a second Apple Watch charger just to take with me when I travel. So one sits here on my desk, one goes with me on the road. Good to have one of those. And even good, I think, to have, and we've talked about this before, one of those bricks that has multiple USB plus plugins, right, to go, especially when you travel here in the United States. One of the things I'm thinking about changing for this trip, which I haven't done a lot of recently because I'm going to be in a hotel room all week when I'm in London, is to take a Bluetooth speaker with me just in case the room's kind of noisy, right? Yeah. And I could play rain or I could play thunderstorms or I could play just something, white noise, if that's what I need, just to get past some of those hotel room heaters, right, that come on. The hotel I'm staying at, London Bridge, I think, Hilton London Bridge, right down by the Shard. But you still don't know. Like, I was in some nice hotel rooms in Washington, D.C., and there was a gate. I was up on the top floor, and there was a gate up there banging, all, you know, like when the wind would blow, kang, kang. You just needed something to kind of distract you from the noise.
Something to drown you out from that, yeah.
And, yeah, you could do the TV, but that's not great for that. So I think I don't normally carry a Bluetooth speaker, but that was one of those kind of things that I thought, you know, maybe good to have that, have it plugged in, just have it available for some white noise, fan noise, whatever you want to put on when you're in. Mike, what else? When you travel, what else would you add to my list?
Well, the one thing I was thinking about for you, and then you had told me what phone you had. So this doesn't directly apply to you, but if you're traveling internationally and you do have the iPhone, I don't know on the Android side who offers eSIM, but iPhones have eSIM support now, and they've had this since the iPhone XS line, right? So last year's and now iPhone 11, is you have an eSIM, which means you have the physical SIM in your card. Like, so my phone right here is on Verizon. I have a Verizon SIM in it. And if this was the XS, it has an eSIM built in. Well, there's apps now that you can get, and the best one that I've seen for reviews-wise is GigSky. So if you get the GigSky app, you can actually, ahead of time, they say, hey, I'm going to London. Okay, for for $5, I can get 2 gigs of data. Boom. It's on the eSIM. You don't have to worry about getting a SIM card when you get there. And you have now a data plan that you can use over there instead of using your Verizon. So, I mean, how seamless has that become? In the past, Jim, when we talked about traveling internationally, it was, do you grab a burner phone while you're over there? Do you go get a local SIM? Do you just call your local service and say, hey, I'm traveling. What's your rate? Right? It's going to be $10, $15 a day, no matter what it is. So, it's an option for people, especially I think it's a good option if you're going to be doing a longer term trip. I think most of your Verizons, your AT&Ts nowadays, it's what, like $10 a day, maybe $15 a day per device.
I guess I need to check. This is good. I'm glad we talked about this because I'm Sprint, whether you like that or not.
Sprint's pretty good in terms of international
usage. Sprint iPhone 8 Plus. Does this push me? Do I start thinking about like, would it make sense? You know, much like I got credit cards, you know, years back when I was doing some more overseas traveling, I got credit cards that were really good at you know, they're traveler's cards. Right. So I can charge them over there. I don't get the fees associated with the conversion rates and some of those kinds of things. Would it be smart for me to look into, I'm at the end, like I'm buying out my phone right now. So I own it at this point, but would it be smart for me to think about making the upgrade to the new, I need an excuse, Mike. So is this the time to go to the new iPhone 11? And is there an advantage to that for overseas travel?
It's an added bonus. A lot of people use the eSIM for a second work line on their same phone. So people who typically carry two phones, one for work and one personal, you could now have your eSIM where your two different phone numbers come to the same, if that makes any difference. But, you know, it's an added benefit. I don't think it's a good enough reason to go out and get the new phone. The iPhone 11, though, what an amazing phone. We can talk about this later, but I upgraded Hannah to the latest iPhone 11. Great price point. We ended up getting, I think it only cost us about $100 because we got a $500 trade-in, and not even a trade-in. I use Swappa. I don't know if you guys have used Swappa yet. Online Swappa, you post it, and then it's pretty much like a marketplace for these used phones. And we sold her phone on Swappa for $500. She had an iPhone 10 and got the new phone. So, you know, one of those added benefits. eSIM is good, especially, I mean, for international travel, this is exactly when you would use it. So, Jim, I'm thinking for you, I mean, you're probably expensing this anyway through the company. But if you're doing a personal trip and you're doing it, the great part about it is if you're doing it for a long period of time and if you have multiple people in your family, you know, 15, whatever it is, $10, $15 a day from your Verizon per device, that adds up quick, right? You're spending an extra $100 a day just on data when you could get, you know, 2 gigs, $10, and that lasts you however long it takes to go through 2 gigs, right? So that could be a lot cheaper if you're doing some sort of family trip. And you can still do this the old-fashioned way and go get a physical SIM when you get there. But this way, you would have access to your old number still. You don't have to worry about it. You can just do it ahead of time, and you're good to go. So,
yeah, talk me through these 11s. So say I'm thinking of going to 11, and I have this 11 Pro Max, 11 Pro. There's an XR. I mean, what's if I were to do something right now? What's your recommendation on that?
I think unless you are a professional photographer, or doing a lot of video work, or you just have the money to spend and you want to get the biggest, best, and baddest thing, the iPhone 11 is a great phone. The iPhone 11 is what I'll be going towards when I need to upgrade. If this thing, I think this 10 will actually last me a few more years. But if I had to upgrade today, even me being a pretty pro user on the phone, the iPhone 11 is great. Actually, the processor in the Pro is the same as the 11. Really, the biggest upgrades you get when you go to the Pro are the type of display you get. It's a better display, and an extra camera, better camera, things like that. So what I loved that Apple did this time was it's not a processor bump to the Pro. It's really a targeted upgrade to people who are doing photography, videography, things like that, and they really need that crystal clear display. So you don't lose anything by going with the 11 besides the extra. So the iPhone 11 Pro has the third camera in it. In that, you have your regular telephoto, you have wide, and you have an ultra wide. And but with the 11, you still get the wide angle lens, which works really well. You get the night mode, you get all of that. The iPhone 11 is a great phone at a really reasonable price. I think it's $699 new.
Yeah,
and that's a pretty good price for that phone.
Yeah, do I go smaller screen if I go 11, right, than I have on the 8 Plus? So I would go smaller?
No, same screen size.
Okay.
So okay. from where you're at, that's the same screen size. It's a smaller phone physically, but you got to remember all the bezels are gone now.
Yeah.
It's top to bottom screen. So you're going to have a smaller physical phone, but the screen size is the same for you.
Yeah.
And then I guess if you did want a much bigger screen, that's when you could go to the 11 Pro Max. But it's pricey.
Yeah, no, they are. I think I'm going to spend some time. I'm glad we had this conversation because I didn't even think about my phone. I could take the 8 Plus over with me, right?
And yeah.
I would need to check in with Sprint and kind of buy a plan, right, of some kind.
Yeah, just tell them you're going overseas. They'll ask where you're going. You'll, do the whole rigmarole of how much is that? Is my phone going to work over there?
Yeah, other Jim in the chat room says Google Fi would be a good choice, and I am at that spot where I could make that cut over to Google Fi, sell my 8 Plus, pick up a Fi phone. That's what Sarah has been using. Those are really friendly overseas. To be honest with you, I won't be spending a lot of time outside of London, just to be honest. This trip is going to be pretty much focused on London. And I don't make many phone calls, and I'll be connected to Wi-Fi most of the time I'm in the office. So I don't know. It's a good conversation to have, Mike, as I think about, okay, landing there, get there. I remember a couple years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and I went to Germany, tried to use O2 when I was over there with another phone, didn't get it unlocked properly and couldn't really make it work. It was kind of a hassle then, maybe a little bit easier now, do you think, for me?
Yes.
Okay.
Much easier.
Yeah. Get that.
I think you just stick with Sprint, tell them you're going overseas and see what they're going to charge you and see how that'll work.
Cause
with LTE now, it's all different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And the plan has always been, my plan on my 8 Plus was just to run that thing until it ran out. Like it's the lease payments or the, I did the lease and then the buy at the very end kind of thing. It's the same price as if I'd bought it outright, right? Whatever. And this, it actually pays off in November and I'm done. And then it's free and clear. My bill will go down. My daughter's will pay off at the same time. That'll go down. I won't be paying on a phone. I was kind of thinking I hate to make an upgrade, take on another payment for a week.
So pay it off early and then trade it in.
Yeah.
You still get the money towards it.
Right.
That's what we did with Hannah. She had a month left. We bought it out. We had like $100 left, which maybe she had 2 months left because we had $100 left. And then we sold it for $500, right? It makes zero sense. If you are so close, I see people do this all the time. Like they will, I'm just going to go upgrade. I'm like, well, how many months do you have left? Like, do you realize how much money you've put into that phone that you're literally just throwing away when in 2 months you own it and then you can sell it and get $300, $400, $500, depending on what you have. And they kind of don't really, you don't think about it in those terms. And Verizon has really stopped letting you, this is just a very recent, you can't do the halfway through upgrade anymore. So you have to pay off the rest in order to upgrade.
Well, certainly I'm glad you made me think of that. My passport is sitting up here, and that's one of those things, of course, you check before you go. Yeah. I'm good on the passport, but I'm kind of glad we've had this phone conversation. It gets me kind of thinking like, okay, besides having phone adapters, what kind of plan am I going to need when I hit the ground? What else would you use? What other technology, what other thoughts would you give me as I head over there?
The TripIt app was always my favorite when I was traveling a bunch. I don't know if you've ever used it. You plug in everything, create simple itineraries for you. I think that's the best. It's an easy addition to any traveler's app kit.
Paper versus having the ticket on your phone. I go back and forth. Paper is old school, but man, you pull that thing out of your pocket and just beep it and it's done. It used to be, and I think they've gotten better, but I remember a couple years ago, those readers would really struggle sometimes if your phone brightness wasn't all the way up or some of those kinds of things. It seems like they fixed some of that, but are you a paper guy or do you go on the phone?
100% phone. I'm the opposite. I think paper.
Put it in the wallet. Do you do it in advance and put it in the wallet?
I do. I put it in the wallet. That way I've noticed when you put it in the wallet, it's a little bit easier to pull it up quicker. Just with the iPhone, the way it's built, it's really quick to get into your wallet and pull it up. Plus, I love that your gate updates, your seat updates, your paper, you're stuck with what it was when you printed it out. But if your gate changes, your ticket, your boarding pass is always going to be up to date. So I really like it. Plus, I'm the type of guy where I'm constantly last second going open the Delta app and trying to find a different seat that's better, right? Because without any paying any upgrades, you can jump around within your class. So you could maybe the exit row might open up last second. So I've been sitting there in line to board and I'll switch my seat real quick because someone else above me jumped out and you can hop in. And
in the airline app or in the TripIt app?
The airline app.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. The airline apps are the best thing in the world. I love them.
Yeah, so they seem to have actually gotten a lot better. Hey, chat room, paper or phone? What do you guys use if you're in the chat room right now?
Oh, and Alex brings up a better point.
Okay.
Apple Watch. You can put it on your watch, and then it's lay your wrist down. Mm. And that's even better because a lot of times, you know, you got to have your phone is in your pocket or you put it in your bag, and then this is always going to be on your wrist. That's a great point.
Yeah. I haven't done that yet. And so that's the wallet. So if I put it on the wallet on the phone, then it becomes available in the wallet on my watch, right?
Right.
Okay. I'll have to give that one a try. My flight's Omaha to Minneapolis, and then I only have a 2-hour layover, which is pretty great. Two and some change, and then Minneapolis to Heathrow, and then same coming back. I really like the flights I got. I'll have to give that a try here in Omaha at least to get it on the watch. I kind of go back and forth, Mike. Sometimes if I'm checking a bag, I'll just take the paper tickets. If I'm not, I'll just do it on my phone. So. You know, the other thing I do, I have a pre-flight ritual where right before I go into security, I just unload everything into my backpack. So wallet comes out, check all, you know, it. And the only thing I have is my ticket and my ID on me. Everything else is packed away. It's kind of a bummer to stand in line and not be able to have your phone. But if I've got a paper ticket, I'll keep the phone if I'm going to use my phone for the ticket. But
yeah.
I just jam everything in the bag. It's so much easier to get through TSA with everything put away.
You know, Nathaniel brings up a very good point that I didn't think about, and he's totally right. Well, first of all, Alex had a good point. You don't have to take your watch off going through TSA, so you can still dump everything in your bag. Your watch stays on, so you've got your boarding pass.
Yep.
Nathaniel says, when I travel alone, pass on my phone. Travel with family, I use paper. I didn't think I'd do the same exact thing, Nathaniel. When we went on our vacation in this last spring break, I did the same thing just because it's easier to hand those out, especially with kids. They don't have devices. If I know that no one's in my same system, like I'm such a seasoned traveler that I've got my system down, but I don't want to have mine on my phone and wonder where my wife is. She doesn't have the app. She's not signed in, you know, just because she doesn't travel a lot and the boys don't have devices. So he's right. When I travel with family, I am
rookie travelers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Rookie travelers.
You see them all the time on the weekdays when you're traveling. You're like, oh,
and they drive you nuts in the security. I'm like, really? Come on.
Oh, yeah. TripIt is, we use Concur, which I think is one of those travel, right? And I think TripIt, they use TripIt.
Concur is a expense, like an expense tracking, right?
Well, and it's travel. It does all, they do everything for you. You go in there. We got our corporate rates in there and those kinds of things. So, so I got a little homework to do. I need to kind of spend a little bit of time, kind of get my phone figured out. I am going to try one of the things. I don't travel. I used to travel with both my Surface and my work laptop when I was going for a while. I wanted to have both laptops. I think I'm really just going to go work in my iPhone. I don't think that second laptop can be kind of a crusher. And I just don't think I'm going to take it this time.
Well, especially with we're in an era now where the phone, your personal phone, does a lot, and you don't really need that second screen. There might be one use case for it if you're doing something where you want your personal computer, but not worth lugging around. And not worth – there was actually one time where TSA got mad at me because they actually enforced the only one laptop going through the scanner if you're TSA pre-check. They're like, oh, if you have two, you got to take one out. I'm like, no one's ever said anything to me on that.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you had to do that. Do you use the screens on the back of, so if you got on a plane and it's got a screen on the back of the seat, do you use that or do you use your phone or do you use both?
When I was traveling by myself, no, I use my own device. And that's mainly because, you know, I've got Plex loaded up and I loaded some movies before I left. If I'm with my family, it's just so much easier when I'm dealing with two kids to not have my own device out. That's just one more thing that's falling on the ground and getting everywhere. So if I have a spare 10 minutes when they've fallen asleep, I'll just tap up on the screen and use that.
Okay.
So again, it's a traveling with family versus traveling alone situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I sometimes have, you know, I'll tap the screen when we're waiting. Some airlines don't turn on the Wi-Fi until you get to 10,000 feet. Southwest leaves it on all the time. I think Delta does too. So there's some variety in kind of knowing, like, I do kind of like, if it was on all the time, I just get on and start a movie the second that I sat down. I have found, I used to, in fact, Jody, who I used to travel with all the time at Gallup, she used to get mad because I'd meet all these people along the way. And since I started doing the movie thing, I sit down, I lock in, I put my headphones on, I don't talk to anybody, you know, I just kind of get right into a movie and kind of get going to get it done.
I think I was the opposite. I was, when I work, I would put in headphones that I put on the Bose and I would just start typing away. Didn't talk to anyone. Family trip, obviously not doing that, and ended up meeting some kid who saw I was wearing Carson and, oh, I've been, you know, trying to get a job there. He ended up applying and got the job in HR. I was like, hey, he met you on an airplane. Do you know this kid? I'm like, oh yeah, I did. I did meet him on an airplane, and it was funny. You know, the more people you just, the conversations you can have in airports are kind of my favorite now. I've come to like that now that I don't travel for work and I'm not trying to get a bunch of stuff done in the airport.
It is kind of nice. It is kind of nice. It's just been a weird, it's been a flip for me of, I used to try and maximize every second on the plane of getting work done. And now I'm kind of like, you know, I'm going to take some downtime and this is going to be kind of my time. The other thing I can't do on a plane is listen to podcasts. Like, I know this sounds weird, but I cannot just sit there.
I can't either.
Yeah. I can't do it. I'll sit there and I'm like, okay. And then maybe I'll grab a magazine. Like, okay, this doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So I'll close my eyes. Next thing I know, I've slept 30 minutes through the podcast. Right.
Yeah.
And maybe that's okay. Do you have any, so you, your travel was mostly like, and locally, right? The travel that you did.
It was to the coast and back. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any tricks that you found for, did you sleep much on the plane? Like, I'm going to try and overcome that jet lag by trying to actually get some sleep. Now everybody says that, they never do, right? But did you have any tricks to getting really comfortable?
I have two. One, my wife didn't know about until this very last trip we went on. On most airplanes, the headrest not only goes up, you can fold the flaps in. Yeah. And you know, you probably know that, but a lot of people, they don't know that you can bend those in, and man, does that make a huge difference when you can have something you kind of just lean to the side just a little bit and have just something that keeps you up. So using those little flaps on the headrest, fold those in. And then, you know, Jim, it's the Bose. It's turning on some just classical jazz music or something that doesn't have any lyrics. And usually I can be out pretty quick on an airplane with the headphones, some good quiet music, and just sit back.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to figure something out because I have traditionally not been a great sleeper on planes, and I'm going to try and do that. So the weekend before, I'm going to try and go to the couple days before, go to bed really early, get up early, try and get myself in that rhythm of it already. I think I have a morning flight out of Omaha here on Saturday. It's not morning. It's like 11. So I could probably, you know, kind of finagle some things. And then try and sleep just as much as I can. I know everybody says you can't do that. And you get there and you're pretty shot. So
yeah.
Sunday I'm going to, you know, I'll get a rest, you know, and then try to get some meetup stuff in and get that done. But wondering if there's any technology tricks. So after this conversation, you're listening and you're like, oh, I've done some things that's worked for me. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Loved Jim. Yeah, jim@theaverageguy.tv. If I can say that right, my voice isn't doing so great. Love to hear the tips, tricks that you have on travel. We'll be talking about that. And like, again, let me know if you're going to be in London. Windows announcement. We've been talking about Apple, but there's a huge Windows announcement. Been covered ad nauseum in all the channels or so. Mike, wondering if you spent any time looking at any of the new Windows equipment that came out.
Zero. So give me like the 30,000 foot view.
Well, okay. So they now have more products than Apple. Let's just be honest. So we have a Surface Pro X, by the way, all this over at the Reset Forums. So go to homeservershow.com/forums, sign in there. Dave's got a post. Appreciate him doing this. Pulling right off, how many Surface categories can we have? He says, links to all the new devices. So you can go over to the forums and get those. Surface Pro X, Surface Pro 7, Surface earbuds are out now, right? And they have the headphones as well.
Similar Surface, to AirPods?
Yeah, very, very, well, okay. Hold on. Let's look at them really quick. If you go over there, I have not seen what they actually look like. No, actually. So instead of being like traditional earbuds where you put them in and they have a drop down part, they have this big flat disc on the side that you're wearing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So new Surface earbuds that are out. A new Surface Laptop 3, which looks pretty great. And then a new Neo and a new Duo. And they've been messing around. They're, this Duo is really this kind of attempt at a dual screen foldable, you know, where it's got screens on both sides and it folds in the middle.
Right.
Basically a mini laptop. Looks pretty cool. So since the fact that you didn't follow this at all, you're probably not, this isn't going to, you're not too interested in what they're putting out, I imagine.
I don't think it's that. I think it's that I'm not following this news because I'm not in the market for a new computer, really.
Yeah.
I haven't been in the market for a new laptop because we got the MacBook Pro not too long ago. And then on the desktop side, everything's still working pretty well for me. So I think it's just because I haven't been in it that I haven't followed the news.
The new Duo, the Surface Duo, is that book size hinged. So it's kind of hinged like a laptop, not technically a foldable screen. So divided in the middle, but screens on both sides. And so a pretty interesting, not available holiday 2020. So we're still like a year away from getting this. They announced it, but not available
they're
today.
They're pulling a Samsung, right? Like with the Samsung foldable phone that they had announced it way ahead of time. Hopefully it's better than what we saw from Samsung, though.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Well, this one, the screen isn't complete all the way across. It is a foldable.
Okay.
No. Yeah, kind
two
of foldable,
screens.
But screens come together. Okay. What's going to be really interesting to see on these dual screen phones is that they get dirty, and then the screens come together, and then that dust rubs together,
right.
And you don't think it's a big deal until it is, and it just mucks up your screen. I mean, especially you take that phone, you fold it, and you put it in your back pocket, and you go to lean over or sit down or whatever, and the torque, I know that sounds weird, the torque that your back pocket puts on the phone and the screens rubbing together can be really bad, really hard on the screens.
Well, I think of it even like with the MacBook laptops, you see the keyboard imprint on the screen when you open it up, right? Just from the dust there, and that's not going in your pocket. You got a good point. I mean, that's going to be the interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. We saw with the Samsung device problems with the foldable. Didn't work, right. Just to be honest. It just didn't work. If you take two screens and you put them together, I don't know. They almost need, like, I would want to put a piece of something soft in between the two of them. I'd just be afraid of scratching. And not scratching the screen, scratching each other, but the dust, the little dust particles, and then you put a little tension on that thing. And it just grinds it like a piece of glass, you know, it just grinds it like a sharp diamond, so to speak. And so
my problem is, and I'm probably the only one in this camp, but I have just been so either I want the size of an iPhone or I want a full laptop. Like these mid-range screens have just never for me, I've never seen the use case for them. I know a lot of people, especially in our community, use the iPads, and I'm an iPad fan. I do like that, but that's, to me, I consider that almost like if I'm not taking a laptop, I'll take the iPad. But something like right in the middle there, like the iPad mini never made sense to me. I just couldn't figure out what the use case was there for. Like, it's still too big for my pocket, yet it's not big enough. If I'm gonna have something I have to put in a bag anyway, why not go up in size? So maybe the foldable answers that then. Maybe it takes a bigger screen and makes it a little bit smaller, but I'm like, well, at that point, why not just have the full-size device? So I'll have to get it in my hands and play with it and see the use case and really see how people are using these. But this is one area that I've already struggled in the past with just the size, let alone the folding aspect of it. It'll be interesting.
Both available holiday 2020, the larger 9-inch screen, so the Neo, which is the 9-inch screen, larger. They've got a 360 hinge, so it's not just open, but it's open all the way around, right? And then Neo is going to be Windows and Windows Experience, so it's going to run some stripped-down version of Windows 10. And then the Duo is Android. So that's going to, I'm sure that it's going to have, and they may both, I didn't dig deep into the specs, they may both be running on ARM-style chips. I'd have to look into that. We got a little time. It's not even holiday 2019 yet, so we got a whole year before these things show up. Boy, that'll be interesting to see with them releasing this a full year in advance. Do the Chinese manufacturers start pumping these out at, you know, ridiculous rates? And then by the time we get to 2020, they're outpriced, right? You know,
that's a long time from now.
I don't think they care. Joe says it runs Android though, which is the larger story, right? So the Neo or the Duo is Android based, running with all the Microsoft products on it. So smaller device. Yeah. Okay. I don't, you know, again, I'm like you, I'm going to want to see them. I bet we'll start seeing units summer of next year. And it'll be interesting to see. I really kind of think, I mean, it would be like Microsoft to not really be serious about this and just say, hey, this would be cool. And we're going to do it a year from now and let everybody else make all the mistakes on that. And, so some interesting things coming. That was kind of the gist of it. I think the ear pods are worth looking at. What I don't like is they look like a big old honking white ring that sticks out of your ear. Yeah. You know,
looks almost like a gauge, like a gauged ear, but like in the middle of your ear.
It does. Yeah. And for some people, hey, that's great. I mean, that's got the controls on them and those kinds of pieces. I don't know. They don't really sit that well.
It's
with
just
me.
One of those we'll totally get used to though. Like people get AirPods. People still say AirPods look so stupid. Anytime you're going to have wireless earbuds, it's going to look weird. It's not natural. You got something in your ear that shouldn't be there. So I think we'll get totally used to the wireless earbud look because it's the way they're going. Wires are out on the earphone side.
Yeah, no. Oh, right on. I'm rocking those $40 pair I bought at Shopko. I am still rocking those in the fitness center, and they work just great. And they're total ripoffs. I could not be a more of an Apple ripoff. Than anything I've ever seen, but super cool. Well, if you haven't, head over to homeservershow.com and the forums. Dave has a post on all these Surface devices are out, and you can join in the conversation. I am still rocking my Surface Pro 3, and it is actually a crypto miner for me. And I'm still mining JSC coin on that thing. It's my insider PC as well, so I kind of keep track. In fact, I just got a new Inside Edition on that, and then I run crypto off it, just kind of that JSC coin. I think about 27,000 of those coins now that are out there. They're worth like nothing, but it's been a good little box. I can't imagine one of the things with the new Surface Pro line that came out. So the Surface devices, they still have a traditional Surface device that came out with it. So I think the Surface Pro 7, it still fits the dock that I have for the Surface Pro 3. So it would be one of those kinds of things where still kind of a big, thick, bulky thing. That Surface laptop gets pretty, or the Surface Pro X gets pretty thin. I think that's USB-C now. I think I remember that. So that gets kind of thin and sleek, but that Surface Pro 7 is still pretty thick and would fit in my current dock. So if I was going to go, if I was going to replace it with something, which I won't at a grand, I've got other things like landscaping that I need to do around here. I probably won't make any updates kind of at this time, but you know, good for Microsoft for getting a lot of new hardware out and talking about any other thoughts on that, Mike?
No, I'll be excited to see them when they come out in person.
Yeah. Me too. And I think you'll probably be able to get it at Best Buy. You know, be able to go in when they make them available, or the Microsoft store, which we don't have one here in Omaha. Mike,
we
don't. No, the pop up store went away.
Okay.
No, it went away, unfortunately. We have to go down to Kansas City to get it. Mike, I've been trying to spend more time with Waze. Getting out of Bellevue is not the easiest thing anymore. It used to be, 20 years ago when we moved here, there wasn't a lot going on in Bellevue. And so driving into Omaha was easy. Every morning now, it's a little bit of a cram. Okay, no. To all my Bay Area friends and Atlanta friends and New York friends and Seattle friends, Portland. Okay, we still don't have that kind of traffic. But I basically have two routes to get from south to north in Omaha. You can either take the interstate or take 10th Street. And oftentimes, if the interstate's jammed up, 10th Street's going to be faster. And I like Waze to tell me that. And I've been spending kind of different ways to, sorry, no pun intended, different ways to get into work to get that done. But I have noticed they have been pimping and pushing carpooling in a big way to get this done. Of course, we know Google is behind, or Alphabet is behind Waze. A year ago, the navigation app kind of kicked in. Mike, have you seen that? First of all, do you use Waze? And have you seen that obnoxious carpool app when you log in?
Yeah, I've been using Waze since I mean, since no one was using Waze, it's great. I'm Waze royalty is my ranking in there because I've been there since the beginning. I get the cool crown, I think, on me. But yes, it drove me nuts because it replaced my dad and I use the friends feature on Waze where we can send each other our ETA. And so he can open up the app and see, like, when I'm on my way down to Kansas City, he can see exactly where we're at. And for that menu button where carpooling was, is like where that used to be, and it totally threw me off. I can still, it's still struggle to figure out how to send my dad my ETA. But, and I guess, Jim, for us here in Omaha, not as big of a need for carpooling, and you're not going to have as much interest, I don't think. So I was just always like, I thought it was the stupidest thing. I'm so glad you sent the article because I'm like, there's no way this is getting any traction because I'm only thinking about Omaha. I'm not thinking about the broader picture where it might make a ton of sense for the carpooling.
Yeah, 500,000 rides in September.
And that's way more than I would have thought.
Yeah, no, that's kind of interesting. We've got an article that I'll have a link to in The Verge from The Verge. And if you want to take a look at it, it's out at theaverageguy.tv/HGG418 if you want to take a peek at it. But yeah, 500,000 rides in globally last September. Waze carpool is available in U.S., Mexico, Brazil, and Israel. It's kind of interesting, those four places. Company predicts that we'll cross the 1 million monthly rides by early 2020. Carpool customers in the U.S. collectively drove 25 million miles last year, which the company estimates helped reduce the carbon emissions by 20 million pounds, which is kind of crazy, thanks to combined rides. But Waze would not reveal the total number of people who are using the app, nor would it comment on the retention or turnover rates. So carpooling, this carpooling feature is kind of like Uber in the sense that you still, if you are the driver, you still get compensation for those carpools. But it's really kind of based on a more regular basis in a very much destination to destination. Not I wouldn't go anywhere trying to complete that carpool ride as efficiently as possible. So they said, so Josh Fried, the head of Waze Carpool, said, "We think we have the magic number," he said in an interview, "and it's four rides." And that is four rides. If we get you one carpool, then you end up completing four carpools, you stick with the service, which is pretty interesting. Completing four rides seems to be what gets you to stick. Mike, I wonder, and I may try this just to see, I may try the carpool app from Bellevue to Omaha just to see what it does. Like, could I pick some people up in the process? I don't want to be an Uber driver. I don't want to be a Lyft driver. I don't want to drive people around all over. I really just want to say, hey, I'm coming from Bellevue. I'm going downtown. I could drop you off. Are there people who would do that? I don't know. What do you think?
Could be. Actually, I didn't know, since I've never clicked into it, I didn't know it was this advanced. So these people are getting paid. You're paying each other through the Waze app for the carpool. Is that how it works?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's like the Uber app.
Yeah.
You're paying for its gas money, right? In there. Waze defines a carpool as one driver plus one rider. Through earlier this summer, the company updated the app to let drivers pick up more than one passenger at a time for a maximum of four riders. Drivers are paired with riders with nearly identical commutes based on home and work addresses. The drivers and riders are limited to two rides per day. This is not a money-making service. Rather, it's an attempt by Waze to test the waters in the growing ride-sharing market. So, interesting, if you were Ubering, and maybe Waze carpooling would be cheaper.
Yeah.
Because they're not trying to make money off of it, at least not at this point, right?
Right.
Yeah, kind of. So it does get me, at first, it's annoying as crap. You know, I was like, oh, I don't want to freaking carpool.
Yeah.
And because they were pretty aggressive about the carpool options. And then more recently, I just kind of skate past it. But it has been one of those things kind of worth trying. How long is your commute, Mike?
5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not really.
No, it's like seven and a half or 10.
Yeah. And I'm at 15. And so even that's not bad. But I imagine in some more urban areas where the commute's 30 minutes.
Yeah. And I've got to take my boys to school too. So it's not even an option. Yeah. I've got to go take them to school and then go to work.
Joe says in the chat room, says my wife uses Waze daily, but I started using Google Maps for the offline maps. Google Maps are also give you a little more specific information, like what lane to be in.
Yeah.
That is.
Which that's wasn't surprising, though, because Google owns Waze. I'm surprised they haven't integrated some of those features
kinda,
over there.
Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? It is kind of cool on some of those apps where it says, hey, get in this specific lane, before you do it. So Ken says his, no. So for Ken, and this may be, it's an hour and 20.
Wow.
And Ken, I don't know how you do it. I met Ken when I was in LA a couple years ago, and I just don't know how you guys do it. I complain when 29, Interstate 29, which goes into Omaha, when that backs up for 5 minutes.
Yeah. This Omaha traffic, I tell you.
Oh, these people, but I could see, Bellevue's a big bedroom community. I could see maybe finding some Bellevue people who go downtown.
I bet so. Might as well click it and see.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I may give it a shot. It's really hard because carpooling is just timing. We are so spoiled with, I leave when I want. I don't even think about it. I just drive there. Right? I don't go to work at the same time every day. I just go when I'm ready.
Right.
So depending on how the morning goes, how late the night was before, what kind of podcasting I did, stuff I did that night. So Alex says 20 to 50 minutes depending on his traffic. Although podcasting has changed for me my commute in a lot of ways. Anthony is saying 10 minutes for him. That's not good. Joe's 15. So the audience here, at least tonight, pretty quick. Nobody besides Ken, pretty quick commutes there. I don't mind, Mike, sometimes if my commute and stop, you're like, oh no, I'm gonna listen to a podcast a little bit longer.
Yeah. I miss working downtown or being at Creighton when I was in school. That drive to downtown is actually, I didn't mind it. I love listening to podcasts. Hannah thinks I'm so weird. I've always said if I, for some reason, can't be a lawyer anymore, I'd really enjoy being a truck driver. I would really enjoy it. I love driving. It's weird. I drive everywhere. Hannah has not been behind the wheel when both of us are in the car. And that's not a thing that she's a bad driver. It's just because I love driving and she's like, great, awesome, do it, take over.
I was that way too when I was younger. Now I hate driving. Justin says, just quit. However, new job is 5 minutes. That's pretty awesome there. So Tony says, just for 3 more weeks in the mountains, I get there on Friday at 7 a.m. and I don't leave the hospital until Thursday at 5:30. Zero commute. Yikes. Whoa. Yeah. Well, when you live at work, that's those kinds of things happen. So I may give it a little bit of a look just to kind of see if that is there. Mike, I've been talking about it for a while. Acronis, when we think about backup, Acronis has been coming on, and this is a company. Acronis has been around for a while. I think I've been using Acronis maybe since 2010.
Oh, and they've been around that long.
I think they are
relatively newer. Maybe they're just starting to become more popular with the average guy scene, right?
Well, they've added more tools to what they have. Backup, they used to be kind of a tool set of sort. Added backup in there very kind of first. That's kind of what put them on the map, and then have been adding in more and more things to the backup. This year, I kind of made a mistake. So I've always been buying. I've kind of been their single year purchase option. So since 2013 or 14, I've bought the year versions. So Acronis 2014. And I forget now that I'm having to do this. I forget what they call their Acronis. Oh, I could just pull it up here. Let's just take a peek at it. True Image. There we go. So I've always brought their True Image product. It's a backup product. And I would buy 2014, and then the next year it'd come out. I'd wait. It would come out new, and I never buy it as soon as it came out. You'd wait about a month or two, and then they'd run it at half price, and then I'd buy 3 more licenses and add them to it and upgrade, and then I'd go ahead and upgrade. This year I kind of made a mistake. I'm not sure if I did or not. So this year I bought their perpetual license. So I had 2018, then 2019. I would have bought the 2020 version to get the most recent. Mm-hmm. Same price, I could get the perpetual license, which just means there's no year on it, so to speak. It's only good for a year, but I get 250 gig of cloud storage. So not that I necessarily need that.
What's the price compared to the year?
It's exactly the same. exactly the same. So okay. instead of just, you get zero cloud storage with a year version. With the perpetual version, you kind of get, you get this 250 gig of cloud storage, and you get whatever version they're on. You can upgrade. You don't have to wait. You know, I'd always have to, I had 2019, 2020 came out. I'd be like, okay, when am I going to upgrade? So, and Justin's asking about Sighthound, and I'm going to ask you about that here in just a second. So hang tight on that one while we're talking about this, but I kind of switched those models this time. Some new, new enhancements when we think about 2020, and they actually have a, and I'm not going to do it, but they have a, they have kind of an affiliate program. You can make $20 up to $25 if somebody buys it. So that's not bad if you want to be one of those that kind of that, you know, one of those folks that does affiliate. I almost started doing that. I'm like, I'm not going to mess with it. If you want to use a, if you want to use a Cronus, just go buy it. I don't have to, I don't need to make money off you. But one of the things that a Cronus has done really different that I didn't expect is they've gotten into the cybersecurity side. So they're doing kind of antivirus, anti-malware, anti-ransomware. And so that is kind of one of those things, if you're going to use them for backup, it's kind of nice to have the that extra protection. Doesn't seem to conflict with any of the other. I'm still using Bitdefender as well. Doesn't seem to conflict with any of those kinds of things. And then they also improve their backup to now, like we used to get on home server. So now you, it'll eliminate duplicates. It's smaller. So if you have duplicate files in there, it's looking for it and we'll eliminate those or however that technology, it's about time. My home server friends are like we were doing that in 2003,
right?
But hey, it's available there. And then I think the other feature that's kind of cool is a tray notification. Again, nothing new, but they have really amped up and have a, you know, have an icon in the tray where you can see what it's doing. That was always a big drawback to Acronis, is you could kind of really not know, like, what's this thing doing? It's kind of hiding in the background. Backup on selected Wi-Fi is a new function. Custom power management features. So if you're unplugged, don't back up because backup takes power. Like, you know, some of those kinds of things. And then PowerNap backups are available for you as well. Mike, have you used Acronis at all? Or is that anything you've ever taken a peek at?
No, mainly because the one Windows machine I run, I don't worry about backups. It's just a Sighthound box. So that's all it does. And if that crashes, I just reinstall it and I'm all good. So on the Mac side, I use Carbon Copy Cloner as my backup. So I've never had to work on the Windows side. I think the one time I did, I was not using Acronis. Yeah, I used a free version of something to do a quick backup.
One of the things I've appreciated about the guys at Acronis, they were out ahead of the ransomware thing, that ransomware protection, before most were. And so if you, I haven't really worried about that because I don't know, but it's there and pairs nicely with my Bitdefender. And that, by the way, just a quick note on that Bitdefender, their VPN solution for $30 a year is awesome. So I've turned it on, turn it off. I don't have to have it on full time. If I want to use it, I can. But funny story. So I turned on, we did a big upgrade at work and we had some new features that I didn't think was working globally. So I wanted to test them from another place, right? So I turn it on to Switzerland, set it, and then I go bring the browser up and start accessing my stuff from Switzerland. The next day, the cybersecurity team from Gallup calls me. They're like, hey, were you in Switzerland last night?
I think you've been hacked. Your account is showing up from Switzerland.
No, that's exactly what they said. They were like, hey, I'm pretty sure you weren't in Switzerland last night. And I'm like, well, actually I was because I was trying to test this functionality from another country. And so one, good on Gallup for having that kind of level of security to be able to see my account. Was it, you know, was I being accessed from another country? But two, that VPN switch is super easy in Bitdefender. Just go in, drop it down, select the country, hit connect, boom, you're in and you're on.
Right.
And that piece has worked out really well. Mike, on Sighthound, because we've been following them as well.
I'm a big Sighthound user.
Your advice to me, like I'm on Sighthound and I'm trying to think of what version. I'm on an old version, I think. I'm on version 6. I got an email from them.
That's current.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Did that update on its own then? Or because you said don't, am I not supposed to renew? Just tell me what I'm supposed to do with Sighthound.
So this is what happened. They they've been talking about the release of Sighthound 6. So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Sighthound, if you've missed this, Sighthound is a security camera NVR solution. It's an application software that you load onto a Windows or a Mac machine. It can pull in from all your IP cameras and record, right? It's great. Very robust. Think of if you've played with it like Blue Iris, but I actually, this is much cleaner than Blue Iris, much easier to set up.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great.
It's fantastic. So what happened was they have been talking about upgrading to Sighthound 6, and the way that their payment thing works is that it's a one-time purchase for the application. I think it's, if you want more than two cameras, it's a one-time $250. You get it, you're good, and it's yours forever. Use it. But if you want any upgrades and if you want support, it's $50 a year. So you can pay $50 a year for support, and that would get you an upgrade. Well, they had been doing yearly big upgrades. Well, they had been talking about Sighthound 6 for so long, it actually took all of 2018. It didn't come out till 2019. So the people who paid for support for last year and for upgrades didn't get any upgrades. So what they said was, hey, since that took us so long, we will upgrade everyone in 2019. Even if you're expired, if you had support last year, you'll get it. You'll get Sighthound 6 this year, because we know we took more than time we wanted to. You didn't get anything for your $50 last year, so we'll give it to you. So the advice that I've always been giving people is, and it's true because, Jim, if you're on 6, I upgraded. I actually was on the beta, so I was beta testing 6 on my machine. And if you have Sighthound, I've been telling people all 2019, don't upgrade your support. Don't pay that $50 yet. Pay that in 2020, because you're going to get Sighthound 6. Just start that back up in 2020. Okay. If you want it, if you need it. Most people are happy with 5 or 6. Sighthound 6, it added animal detection, which did help a little bit. I will say, my dog just must confuse the hell out of the Sighthound system, because it's a person one day, it's an animal the next, it can't tell the next. But it's only my dog that really has that issue. I was really hoping it would be a lot better than it was. I would be interested. I know Justin, he's in the chat, he's the one who asked about it. He uses it. I think it really depends on your setup and where your cameras are aimed. I'll still say that I will get false positives with windy trees. When the wind's going and the leaves are going everywhere, I'll get a lot of false positives. So they've been trying to work on that. And although animal detection is really cool, because the one thing I do like about my Sighthound is I live in an area where we get a lot of raccoons and foxes and everything going through. Now I can just filter by animal and see all the animals that came through my yard, which is nice. But I think they're still having issue with false positives. But to be fair, it is still leaps and bounds above any other software you're going to find in terms of I can actually filter by people, animals, objects. In other software, that's hard to do if you can even find that feature. And Sighthound, I think, is one of the best at doing it. So although it's not perfect, it's a fantastic feature, worth it. And I think it works better than most other pieces of software. I'm still looking for a little bit improvement.
I like it a lot. I've got it in the garage. And so I have that D-Link one we bought here on the show. Mounted up on the ceiling, and it just watches the car, watches the garage. In fact, I was going through today's footage as you were talking, and today at 12:27, there's a guy walking through my garage I've never seen before. And so I was like, who is this? And then so he walks into the camera view, and it's our exterminator guy. And he's got I can see him when he's spraying around, just kind of spraying around the garage, looking around, looking at my wife's car. So it was super, super interesting. I didn't realize 6 gives us the animal protection, or viewing.
Yeah, so you can tell. Can you filter by animal?
When you people, go to, like, yes.
So people, then you have 6.
Vehicles, animal, unknown.
Yep.
Are the subject I get.
So then you can really start to adjust now your recording settings too.
Yeah.
To make sure you're getting alerts when you want, when you're getting. That's what I like about it, right? I don't need an alert if it's an animal, so I only have an alert if it's a human.
Right.
And it works pretty well.
And I don't, for the garage one, I don't have an alert me. But what's been interesting is they, of course, have been making a big enterprise play with their software. Mm-hmm. So now they're selling their software as a service and offering, hey, we can detect things in your video. So if you are, if you're subscribed to them or download their software, you've been getting a bunch of emails about some of the cool stuff they're doing. Some of the facial recognition, some of those pieces, they're really getting into that space. Now, so sign up for that as well. That is there. Mike, we alluded to it a little bit earlier when we were talking about the phones, but now we've had iPhone 11's been out for a couple weeks. I'm already seeing it in the wild a ton. I'm sure you got some favorite features on it. Quickly roll through as you think about why would I upgrade? I'm an 8 Plus guy. What might I get new on the 11 that we haven't already talked about?
So there's two sets of features I'll talk about. One, the first set is of the phone. Second, I'll just run through some quick updates to iOS 13 that also came at the same time. Yep. We'll talk about both. But with the 11, and we'll just throw it all in together, all the new line of phones, the 11, the 11 Pro, the 11 Pro Max. What I liked about it is the processor bump. Apple's processor bumps actually mean something. You can always tell when you're playing with a new device that has one of the new processors in it. We talked about earlier, I like that they put the same processor in both the 11 and the 11 Pro, so that you're not having to decide between power or not. Really, you're just the Pro focuses on other camera features. Overall, across the line, the camera system just got a lot better. And the smarts that they're doing with 13.2 that's going to come out soon, you'll get Deep Fusion, which is an addition. It's more processing that they're doing behind the scenes on your photos with the iPhone 11 and the 11 Pro. So they're doing a lot with photos. I think the Pro is really cool with that, with those three lenses. And I was playing around with Hannah's phone, so she's got the 11, so she's got the new night mode. I posted this on Twitter, so it's a ways back. It's a few weeks back, but if you go out to my Twitter, at Uyghur Tech, W-I-E-G-E-R is Uyghur. If you go out there, I posted three photos side by side. So I took a photo, I went into my dark, I turned off the lights, and I went into our laundry room. I took one photo with no flash, nothing. I took one photo with a flash, and I took the next photo with night mode. The interesting part about night mode is night mode does not use the flash. So night mode is simply a long exposure shot. And I thought it was real. I thought the photos turned out really well for how dark it was. I mean, you couldn't even see me in the room. And so I thought night mode is very impressive with iOS 13. So really, with the iPhones, you're looking at camera bumps and processor bumps. Beyond that, here's the weird part, though, Jim. They kind of buried. They said, oh, faster Wi-Fi. And then just that's all they said. And they kept going. They have Wi-Fi 6 in this phone. So the iPhone, you know, I think if you're Samsung, if this same launch would come from Samsung, that would have been like a huge deal. We have Wi-Fi 6. It's the fastest Wi-Fi. It's the new cutting edge. But I think Apple knows that it was pointless to talk about Wi-Fi 6 because you don't have any consumer routers that you have a few. But you don't. The mainstream is not interested in Wi-Fi 6 at this point. And I don't think they will be for a while. So I think users will benefit from Wi-Fi 6 without even realizing it. I think they'll be in public spaces, in corporate environments where maybe those places have Wi-Fi 6 installed and they're just experiencing great speeds without realizing it. I think it's a long time before we see Wi-Fi 6 in the home. I don't think there's really a need for it right now. So I think that's why they buried the lead there, but there is Wi-Fi 6. But other than that, we always know that in the fall for Apple, when the new iPhones come out, you also get the new iOS software update. And so now we're on iOS 13. Four biggest features that I really liked here. You know, there's a lot of updates, there always are, but there's four ones that I really like, and maybe a few that you guys didn't know about. The first one is if you have the iPad. So it's actually, I say iOS 13, but also iPad OS. If you have an iPad, they now have Sidecar. So if you have a Mac laptop or an iMac and you also have an iPad, now there is native support for using that iPad as a second screen for your computer. Built in, it just works, it's seamless, you don't need the apps. There's always been these apps like Duet, I think was one of them, where it tries to mirror it. And they worked sometimes, but not all the time. So now Sidecar is a feature where you can just use that iPad as a second monitor. Dark mode on the iPhone, right? I mean, this isn't groundbreaking tech here or upgrades, but having that dark mode, I really like it. I've had dark mode on, so I was actually using the beta of iOS 13 all summer, and dark mode has made a big difference. I like it much easier on the eyes, and now the great part is when I was using the beta, the apps weren't updated. But now that the apps are all updated, now all the apps pretty much that I'm using have a dark mode. Even Outlook, which I spend a lot of time in every day on my phone, is Outlook for work email. They even have a dark mode as well. Sharing photo in iMessage. Now, this doesn't mean just sharing your photos, but in your contacts. So in your phone, you always say who your contact is. So, you know, it says Mike Uyghur, and I can set a photo there. And now it's fantastic because in messages, when you're texting someone, if I'm texting someone new, if I allow the feature, it'll automatically just send them my photo so that they're, so I actually have a little photo bubble in my contact on their phone. This has always been a problem, I think, on the phones. Back in the day, there was an ability to sync with Facebook, and it would try to pull in the Facebook profile pictures as the contact image on your phone. But now I set it on my phone. Jim, if I start to text you, then all of a sudden on your phone, you'll see that my contact has been updated with the photo that I chose. So it's a little feature, but I like it. It's a good one. And then native swipe texting. So I know that this has been people love this on the Android side. People have used third-party keyboards on the iOS side for a while, but now it's just native in the phone. Start swiping away to do all your texting. Jim, are you a swipe to text guy? Have you?
No.
I haven't been either. It's for me. I'm too much of a creature of habit to switch over.
I'm kind of old. I'm still on 12.4 because I heard some, you know, that very first 13.
Yeah, you never do 13.0. Or you never do the .0 release.
Are we to 13.1 or whatever? Yeah.
We're probably 13.1.1.
So should I upgrade?
Or maybe it's 13.0.1 is where
8 plus. One of the things that's been interesting, it hasn't been hounding me to upgrade. So, which is kind of surprising. So 8 plus, do I upgrade to 13 now, do you think?
Yeah, for sure upgrade to 13. Okay. For sure upgrade to 13. Now we're on 13.1.2. That's what we're on.
Okay. Yeah. So it's okay now.
Yes. Okay, now you're good. I would definitely upgrade. It's a really good upgrade. I enjoy it. Nathaniel Lindsay, that's a good point. He says in the chat, he says his favorite part is the better CarPlay, more reliable and clean interface. I don't have CarPlay, so I haven't gotten to use that feature yet. But
you got Amazon. Did you get Amazon Echo in your?
I did.
How did you get that?
Echo Auto.
How did you do that?
I had been waiting for a long time. I remember on the podcast, Jim, I think you and I both applied for invites.
Yeah, I haven't gotten crap.
And I saw that people months ago were getting invites. And I was like, oh, man, maybe I just didn't get one. And 2 weeks ago, I got the invite and ordered it, and it came. And so I have it in my Jeep, and I'm kind of digging it, Jim. And you have to be in the right use case for it, though.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Okay.
My review of the Echo Auto is... First of all, you have to have a convenient place to plug in both USB and because for me, the biggest draw to this was my car does not have Bluetooth. If you have a car with Bluetooth, you could really just use Siri or Google Assistant, whatever
and
you
I don't
have.
Either.
Is there a need?
Yeah.
So I didn't have Bluetooth. So I'm like, really, I had an Anker Bluetooth adapter, which was amazing. But I'm like, okay. The thing that I hate about mine is that Anker thing you have to turn it on every time. So the auto would turn on. I would get Echo features. And then I was like, really, this thing could actually make it. It has 6 microphones in it. It would probably work really well for being actually to take calls on the phone.
Yeah.
And so first of all, you have to have a good place. This thing, think of this. It's got to be on your dash and you're going to have cords running down. So luckily my Jeep, I can tuck those cords down behind the panel. And it worked really well, but the cords can look really unwieldy. So you got to plan this out and think if it's going to be a good fit because you're going to have to plug in aux and then you're going to have to plug in USB power. But man, it's worked really well. I turned that car on and it is instantly connected to my phone. It works really well. The talking on a phone call, people say they hear me pretty clear. You know, it's got those nice microphones in it and then it's coming out of my car speakers. So it's a nice upgrade if you have an old car. I think I'll say that. If you have an older car without all the tech, if you don't have Bluetooth, but you have an aux, it is a good upgrade for the Echo Auto.
Okay. I didn't get it. I'm a little disgruntled.
Yeah,
like, did it come via email?
They've been rolling, to email. So they'll send you the email saying, hey, your invitation's here.
We signed up for it the same night.
We did, yeah. But so the one thing I'll say, the integration is actually pretty interesting with iOS because you can ask her for directions, and she'll just open your Maps app on your phone. It's a lot more, there's certain things that you expect her to be able to do. Like I thought I would be able to tell her to text Hannah, but that has to go through the Echo app. So she has to have an Amazon account. So it can't do text. It can do calls. So I can say call Hannah and she will trigger the call with the iPhone and I can say get directions to whatever and she'll open Waze. But for some reason, there's certain things that she just can't interface with. So I'm still trying to learn when I can and when I can't use her.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'm not ready anyways. So
for $25, not a bad deal.
Yeah. Did you pay for it when they ship it? Is that what?
Yeah.
Is that the way it works? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to check. I haven't checked. Like you said, it came via email.
Yep. Yeah. I would just search Echo Auto in your email.
Yeah. We'll see. Hey, we've noticed you purchased electronics in the past. Do you want a free business account? I get that. I get that one all the time.
Yes,
I do. John Biggs was talking about, you know, I bought that Echo Show with the 5-inch screen. Mm-hmm. And he was asking me, you know, like, hey, has that really been a game changer? And I'm like, well, it looks nice, but I don't know if I've ever done anything where the screen was required on that. And I think I may be in the same boat with the auto where I have a pretty good Bluetooth solution right now. And, you know, would I just be replacing one with the other?
Yeah, most likely.
You know, so yeah, no, super cool. Well, one more thing. We have a new Patreon level. And I was thinking the other day, like, don't freak out over this Patreon level. Okay. Just hang tight with me for a second. Thinking the other day, there's a whole bunch of different ways to live stream now. And StreamYard, who we are using now, has some new plans that allow me to do multi-streaming, which means I can stream out to Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube. We pretty much stay on YouTube, but StreamYard has gotten very serious about this area of multi-streaming. And I thought maybe I'll come up with a live stream sponsor. So you or your business, whatever. This is really kind of geared towards businesses, to be honest. But if they wanted to sponsor the live stream for a month, which means we put a banner up, and so where it says StreamYard up here in the corner by Mike, on Mike's side, replace that with your banner. Mention you on the show. Thank you for the live streaming. You would go, you get mentioned in both this stream, the live stream on YouTube, the live stream on Facebook and LinkedIn and whatever we decide to do. Plus, in the YouTube video going forward, you can do it month by month, $100. So if you're interested in being a live stream sponsor, I won't do it all the time. For now, we're going to be in here. When I get a sponsor, I'll purchase the live stream option from the multi-streaming. Today, we stream through StreamYard to YouTube for free. It just kind of works. But this would give us some more multi-streaming options and maybe kind of fun in a way for folks to sponsor. So you or your business interested in sponsoring Home Gadget Geeks and get in here. Monthly plan is $100. Easy to go on Patreon. Just pay that the month that it do it at the end of the month. It'll cycle through. We get you on for the month and you can do that and is available for you. So just thought I'd throw that plan out there. Also eliminated the $1 plan on Patreon and we just have a $5 plan now. So for those of you who are paying a dollar, continue to. Just won't be a new option going in, and I want to thank everybody who's done the $5 plan. If you're new and you want to do that, I still have a couple of these available from Ron, and he'll print more anytime I want. Of course, I'll send these to you on a $5 plan. I really do appreciate those of you. We've almost hit about $100 a month total in Patreon sponsorship. Helps me do things on the podcast, upgrade equipment, do fun stuff, those kinds of things. And so I appreciate you guys that are doing that on Patreon. Also got contacted by this company called Awesome. It's how you pronounce it, but it looks like A-L-X-I-U-M. They say pronounced awesome. I don't really care. Chinese company, I'm sure. But they sent me a USB 3 aluminum 2 drive enclosure to try out. That. Which, do you? You got one of these?
One sec. Yeah, well, keep talking. I'm going to see if it's the same thing. Okay. I got to see what brand this is.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Backwards compatible to 2.0. So everything you would expect from a drive in here. I got a couple drives sitting around and I thought I'd give it a test out. Offline cloning. So it doesn't need to be plugged in anything. You can put two drives into it and start them cloning if you want to do it. They sent this to me to give it a try out. We're going to try it on some crypto. So I want to thank those guys for doing it. We'll do a full review on the show in a couple weeks. We'll do a live review on the show, but kind of fun. So available if you're listening and you want to send us anything to review. Can't guarantee it'll be a great review, but if you want to do that, you can. Okay, what do you got there, Mike?
Let's see if the light. Oh.
What's the brand name on it? Same?
They look pretty similar.
Let's look. Aluminum. Yeah.
White front.
Okay.
I saw that. I'm like, but it's not the same brand. This one is Unitech.
Oh, and they have a one called Wi-Fi or something like that as well.
And then the back of this thing is just, you know, USB 3.
We'll just do an unboxing right now. What the heck, right? Let's get this thing out.
That'd be really funny if it was just like the same exact
body. I'm gonna test this thing.
It is. Look at the back. It's the exact same body.
Well, you know, you got to kind of wonder. Well,
And these are like flappy things, right? You can press them in.
Little button on the front right there.
Yes, little button on the front.
Little button right there.
Yep. Right.
Super cool. What do you think? Well, how do you like it?
I loved it. It's my number one go-to when I need a dual bay. Works really well. So even if it's, you know, different brands are making the same thing, they're
white cable, power cord, assuming similar, very similar. We're going to give it a try. Well, that's cool, because I'm going to plug it in with some crypto, and we're going to do.
That's what I used it for.
Yeah, a couple drives. I'll test it on crypto. We'll try some. These things are pretty much, I mean, they're a dime a dozen, just to be honest with you. We'll have a special link and a sale and stuff like this. You know, it's kind of interesting. This technology hasn't changed at all in a while. And I was a little surprised they'd even send it to me, just to be honest. And they were like, well, do you want to try something and talk about it? I'm like, sure.
Yeah, sure. So I think this one was, I think, pretty expensive. I mean,
really? Okay.
Relatively, right? This was not $40? The $10. Yeah, 40. It was around 40.
Yeah,
but I think be careful with this button. This button is duplicate.
Okay.
It takes one drive and duplicates it together. I mean, and that's super easy to...
On the front there?
Yeah.
It's and then the offline, button. You have offline duplication, right? So it doesn't even need to be plugged into a computer. Plugged it in, powered up, hit the button. That's the
scary part. You can have buttons. You'll be replotting drives.
Just between you and me, like, who's duplicating hard drives? Like, how often do you really duplicate a hard drive?
That's a good point.
Yeah. I'm just... Just kind of wondering.
Jim, when I break into houses, this is actually what I take with me, and I take out their hard drive, and I, you know, that way I have a copy of it. I put it back in. They don't even know I have their stuff. They don't even know I broke in because I put their hard drive back.
So great. That's like Mission Impossible.
Yeah, it's Mission Impossible. This is my stealing device.
Ron was saying, and StreamYard is cool what they've done. Yeah, StreamYard, this enhancement to StreamYard just came out this week. Or they're now doing, you used to have to use restream.io to get that done. And now that's just available natively in their app. And so again, that sponsorship kind of made sense. I was just kind of like, if somebody wants to sponsor the multi-stream that's out there, we'll allow them to do that through Patreon. So that's out there. And then Ron says, cool that, you know, use that for crypto. Yeah. In this case, it would be great for what we're using. I reconfigured some things and I have a couple hard drives spare. And I was like, oh yeah, just give me a couple drives. We'll throw those in there and give it a test. They're all great. I haven't run into one. Construction is good. Again, we'll do a full review in a couple weeks after the next cloud guys. Real durable. It's not that cheap plastic. So we'll spend a little time looking that as well. Well, a couple reminders. One, we want to let you know we are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern out here at The Average Guy. TV live. If you're joining with us for the first time, Mike at dinner tonight. When Sammy said she wanted to come back on, right? I mentioned that at the beginning of the show. Wants to come back on. And Tim goes, yeah, I actually listened. Tim is my Marine son. He goes, yeah, I actually listened to a couple shows. It's like, really? Like, it was weird to have my kids listening to Home Gadget Geeks. He's like,
pressure's on now.
And then they have a buddy. His name is Nick. Nick, you might be listening right now. So Tim and Josh and Nick are all friends. They've been friends for a long time. Nick doesn't even live close to the Omaha area. And I said, yeah, Nick started to listen to you. So Nick, thanks for, if you got this far in the podcast, Nick, thanks for listening. He's my kid's friends. Maybe that's the model to grow your podcast.
Yeah, right.
Is to,
there's your next Dave Jackson conversation, right? Is grow through your kids.
Grow through your kids. Just get your kids watching the podcast and get it done. By the way, 21-14 Giants Patriots, just in case you were wondering. You watching that, Mike? You got it on?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on. Must be on Prime because I'm watching it. I opened up Amazon Prime and they got a little window.
That's what happened to me. Yeah,
got a little.
I went there to look up the battery I was using when we were back talking about travel batteries. I'm like, oh, look at that, it's on.
Yeah, you have a travel credit card that you use? Just
American
when you're
Express.
When you were traveling, is that what you used?
Yeah.
Why? Points? They don't have any points, do they?
Oh yeah, American Express. Yeah, well, because ours isn't a credit card. It's more of like a charge card.
Yeah.
They're silver, gold, green, all those. And you get really good points with those. When I'm traveling for work, though, I had to use the corporate card. So everyone had a corporate card when we were there.
Yeah. Justin just asked, too, speaking of that, so when is the Cigar Tech one happening? Next week. So we had to move Ed on the other side of this one because I was sick last week. So Ed Sullivan will be back here next week. Week after that is we're looking to get the next cloud. So everything just got delayed kind of by 2 weeks coming on. Dwayne Robinson is coming back. So that's going to kind of cool. Erin actually did a big long video on her van life, van tech stuff. So that's pretty cool. I tweeted that out if you want to get a If you want to take a look at that, she's doing some great stuff. We'll get her back on. Rich Hay will be back right after Microsoft, whatever the name of it is. Whatever. They have like 8,000 conferences a year now, though, at Microsoft. So we got some good stuff coming up. Of course, we want to thank Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. Of course, you know this is hosted media and web hosting here. MapleGrovePartners.com. Plans start as little as $10 a month. And I owe you guys a Cyber Frontiers as well from Christian. So hopefully that will be coming soon. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at TheAverageGuy.tv live. John Biggs said, hey, when are you going to do a crypto update? So I'll do a quick crypto update in the post show. Don't go anywhere. Hang tight. We'll do a crypto update out there as well. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. With that, say goodbye, everybody.